second hour it is of Under the Radar, coming to you from Radio Islam International here in Johannesburg. We, in this particular hour, going to be making stopovers in Durban and a bit later on in the hour in Cape Town as well. The two topics under discussion: first is a continuation of some aspects arising out of the State of the Nation address, promises that were made there and pronouncements that were made by the President, Cyril Ramaphosa, in his second State of the Nation address. And later on in the hour, we are also going to talk about a press conference that was held this week by the Imam Haroon Foundation out in the Western Cape. And the spokesperson for the Imam Haroon Foundation, Qasim Khan, to join us to talk about activities around the 50th anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Abdullah Haroon in apartheid custody. And he'll also speak to us tonight about initiatives that are underway to open up the inquest, or reopen the inquest into the death of Imam Abdullah Haroon, a great stalwart of the anti-apartheid struggle and a hero in the Cape Town Muslim community, who hails from the Ulama fraternity as well. So that's coming up. Just to recap on some of the discussions that we've had so far this hour regarding the show, regarding the State of the Nation address, we spoke earlier about the promise to introduce aquaponics in schools in South Africa as a skill of the future. And our guest there was Martin Fick of Practical Aquaponics, and giving us insight, a window into what is quite an intriguing subject, complex it does seem, and there's a lot of work that's still going to be done before aquaponics really hits the ground at our educational institutions. That's according to what I gleaned from his interview there. And also the less glamorous part of South Africa that politicians seem to shy away off, and these kind of realities that do not come to the fore in an address like the State of the Nation, whether it's Ramaphosa, whether it's Zuma, whether it's anyone else, these kind of realities, like the sordid state of the Eastern Cape and pit latrines and poor state of infrastructure and people going to bed hungry. We discuss that with Dandile Kona and put it on our radar in the first hour of the show. Let's go back to what the President had to say during the State of the Nation address. Still talking about education, he had this particular promise to make to South Africans, and it's, as you will hear from the response of the audience, was very roundly accepted, and a great round of applause followed it.
Over the next 6 years, we will provide every child in school in South Africa with digital workbooks and textbooks on a tablet device. And we will start with those wonderful schools that have been historically most disadvantaged, and the schools that are located in the poorest communities, including multi-grade, multi-phase, farm and rural schools. Already, as many of us will know, already 90% of the textbooks in high enrollment subjects across all grades and all workbooks have been digitized. There's quite a lot of excitement that this has generated. It looks like the members of the assembly here are looking forward to getting tablets themselves.
So obviously every clip that comes out of Parliament, including the one that we played a bit earlier, does have some of the shenanigans of Parliament tied up with it. But nonetheless, the key issue that we're talking here is the rollout of tablets, the textbooks now incorporated or loaded onto these tablets. What are the prospects for this going smoothly, rolling it out in South Africa? What are the benefits? What are the pros? What are the cons? We try to get answers to some of this evening with Mr. Zafar Ahmed. He's the principal of the high school section at the Al Falah College out in Durban, and has practical knowledge of rollout of electronic devices or electronic tablets or textbooks out in schools from the Al Falah College, where this is already occurring to some degree. So we'd like to hear his experiences in this regard as well. Mr. Zafar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for your time.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah. Lovely speaking to you. Thank you for joining us at this particular hour. I'm sure when you heard this particular announcement, for many South Africans, maybe a few things in the state of the nation were new, something to raise the ears. But this particular one has been happening, you know, in bits and pieces in different parts of the country. So not necessarily, you know, the most dramatic announcement, I guess.
No, alhamdulillah, I think, look, this is what's happening in the world, and things are changing. You know, so at some point, if we don't want to get left behind, we have to join this journey, and, you know, that's what the world is going to be like in the next few years. So I think it's timely. We've got to take the first steps, but I think it comes with a lot of challenges. It's not an easy journey to take. You know, we've tried it on a very small scale, just in one school. And we've had a fair amount of roadblocks and speed bumps and along the road, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you try to scale it up on a national level, you must have very deep pockets, and you must have a clear strategy as to how that's going to happen. You know what, I think there's sort of some level of glamour attached to this whole digital thing, and, you know, a kid with a tablet in the school, etc. The reality, from my limited experience in trying to implement this at Al Falah College, the tablet in the classroom in a child's hand is actually the last step in the whole process of getting the curriculum digitized. You know, that comes right at the end. Somehow, there's this romance with having a tablet in the classroom, you know, and then things will just change. Actually, it doesn't. If it's not done properly, the tablet in the classroom is actually a hindrance rather than an aid to education. And so I think, you know, from my perspective, having first-hand experience in trying to implement this in just one school, there are a number of things that must happen before that. And foremost on this thing, in the implementation strategy, is the training or the retraining of teachers. Because we rely on them primarily at the chalk face to be able to leverage all of the benefits that come with the digital technology. No doubt, I mean, it will revolutionize teaching and learning and interaction and engagement for our children. I mean, they live in this world, you know. But if our teachers are not upskilled and our teachers are not retrained, you know, it's going to fail. Really, we got to start there.
In terms of your journey at Al Falah College, you say you introduced it to a certain segment of the school. Just the landmarks in this, how did you start, and what were some of these obstacles that you speak about?
Yeah, so look, we spent a lot of time learning from other implementation strategies. Fortunate enough, my board allowed me to travel overseas a few times. Had a look at what's happening in other countries, what they're doing, how they're doing, etc. And we gleaned that you need at least 24 months of lead time before you get the tablet in the classroom in the child's hand. And that 24 months is the build-up of a number of things. One is the infrastructure within a school to make this happen. So you're highly dependent on good internet, good connectivity, good Wi-Fi systems in school, good capacity and storage capacities on your servers. Then you need to develop the content, the e-content, the digital content. For us as a faith-based school, you know, putting a tablet in a child's hand and giving them access to the internet and YouTube videos actually could be very destructive to the child and to our deen in itself. So a huge part had to be putting in all of the security measures to make sure that the tablet doesn't become a device in the child's hand that will lead to their moral destruction, and then it will help in their education. So, I mean, that in itself is a minefield. Putting in all the checks and balances and firewalls and things to make sure that kids don't abuse the system. And then, of course, teacher training is a huge exercise. And then, you know, Then you need a whole learning management system in the school. You need a class, a device management system. And then at the end of that, somewhere 24 months later, you put a tablet in the class. So we've burnt our fingers trying to go too big, too quick. We introduced the tablets across the school from grade 4 to grade 8 or 9. And it didn't work for us. We had to scale down, and we restarted the project one grade at a time. So we experimented in grade 8 for about 6 months, just on a trial basis. We were happy with the progress we made. Then we rolled it out the following year to all of the grade 8, 4 grade 8 classes. That was in 2017. 2018. 2019, that cohort are now in grade 9. And they all have iPads for the second year. And we've issued iPads now to the new cohort of grade 8s who are using it for the first time. But we as a school are on round 2 with grade 8 and round 1 on grade 9. Alhamdulillah, it's been an exciting journey for us. And we're excited with some of the results we're getting so far, alhamdulillah.
In terms of why, you know, the very fundamental question of why should tablets be used in the first place, like you did point out earlier, for some the idea is romanticizing tablets, that technology equals progress. So just the fact that a tablet is in the hand of a learner, you know, itself is progress, and you know, everything else related to that doesn't seem to matter. It's just the perception and, you know, the savviness of the entire device that, you know, just makes everything seem quite attractive. But I'm sure whatever you would have done would be based on sound research. What is the actual benefit of introducing a tablet in class versus, you know, the normal paper-based system and your textbooks and the rest?
See, that answer can be, that question can be answered from a number of perspectives, right? First of all, let's just take it at the very basic level. In terms of the world our children live in today, you know, they are totally absorbed in the social media, the digital age. They're interacting and they're consuming news and consuming messaging and they're consuming information through this device in high quality sound, high quality visuals, high impact. And that's how they're living their lives. Now, you come to a classroom situation and you've got a teacher standing in front of a blackboard or a whiteboard, chalk and talk. There's no level of engagement because they're living in a completely different world. And so, you know, you sound very boring standing in front, giving them a photocopy in black and white, two-dimensional, when their high-powered resolutions on their tablets and their phones, etc., they're interacting with HD and high quality sound and pictures. And so really, that's the first level. The second thing is, there are so many things technology allows us to do to leverage education. For example, I mean, you know, you can have interactive material being taught through a tablet. For example, I mean, you just take a life science lesson. If I were teaching a lesson on the human heart, and I could do my best effort and draw a sketch of the heart on the board to try and explain it to kids, or even perhaps would have bought a poster or chart and I put it in my classroom to explain, or perhaps even would have got one of those 3D charts or posters in my classroom and used it to explain, it pales in comparison to what is available on the iPad. For example, there's a medical app from Stanford University where you get the heart in three dimension, you can cut it, you can open it, you can see the electronic pulses, you can see the blood circulation system, you can twist it, you can get labels on it. And just the interaction using technology to teach children just that one aspect, no matter how good of a life science teacher you are, you'll never be able to have this visual impact and this three-dimensional approach to bringing that knowledge across and for allowing kids to consume it in this particular way. Even on assessments, for example, I mean, I could teach a lesson, and at the end of the lesson, ask kids to answer three simple questions. And on my device, I could see exactly which kids are answering, how they're answering, which kids are answering correctly. Before they leave my classroom, I get feedback, and I got a pie chart that tells me question one, so many percent got it right, so many percent got it wrong. Question two, this is the feedback. I know exactly when I start my next lesson where I got to start. Now, you know, you can't do that without the leveraging the technology. So there's so many other benefits. But again, it all boils down to the teacher's capacity to leverage the technology to give you all of those benefits. Secondly, like even cleaning from the president's remarks, about 90% of all the textbooks and workbooks have been digitized. Now, that in itself is only one part. What you're doing is simply putting a textbook behind a glass screen. It makes no difference if you give a paper copy or you put a digital copy behind a glass on a tablet. That's not going to give you the magic and the leverage of the technology. It's doing all the other things that the technology allows you to do, is to take it to the next level, not just substitute a paper book with an electronic book. That's not where we're going to see the results technology can bring to education. Unfortunately, most people think that the minute you put a textbook behind a glass, things will change. Unfortunately, it's not as simple as that.
I want to ask you, based on the benefits that you've outlined, Mr. Ahmed, is this based on perception? Is it based on practical experience of rollout of these textbooks? You know, is it simply a case of black and white, the benefits, or is the jury still out on the utility of using electronic devices in class? What if this is, for example, you know, an experiment that is showing positive results in the short term but might have, you know, long-term detrimental effects? And I'm asking you with regard to the available research. For example, I'm looking at Business Insider right now as I speak to you, an article coming out 2 years ago saying that a new study, and obviously there's one study that could say something and another study that says something else, but this study says that students learn way more effectively from print textbooks than screens. And there's a point here that mentions that we found that students were able to better comprehend information in print for texts that were more than a page in length, and this appears to be related to the disruptive effect that scrolling has on comprehension. We were also surprised to learn that few researchers tested different levels of comprehension or documented reading time in the studies of printed and digital texts. And obviously it goes on from there, but my point is, you know, is there not a risk that 10 or 20 years down the line we might be a bit more sober about how we analyze introducing these devices in class?
Absolutely, Mulana. I think there's the empirical evidence for both sides of the argument. For every argument, for every article that says tablets are impactful and positive, there's an equal number of articles that say, you know, it's not so. I think the solution lies in a blended approach, in that I don't think you can only continue with the paper method, black and white, 2D, flat, photocopying type of stuff, or even color textbooks, when you do have technologies available that can enhance learning and teaching. And then nor do I believe that you should go completely digital and think that, you know, children don't have to interact with paper, pen and paper, and whatever you're not. I think the solution lies somewhere in between. It's to leverage technology where it can give us the kind of results that normally we're not going to get from our normal human interactions. And you cannot take out the human element in the whole learning process, and that will still continue. So for me, I think it's finding the balance between the two, inshallah.
You spoke about Wi-Fi, for instance, used in conjunction with the tablets. Just explain that to us, having internet access on top of the textbooks loaded on these devices. How does that work? Because as anybody would conceive, that would open up many other challenges for educators.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, there are a couple of models, right? One of the big benefits of having a tablet in a school, for example, like ours, prior to the tablets, we would buy textbooks.
on average, you're paying 150, 200 rand per textbook per learner. If they do 8 subjects, it's 8 times 200 rand, it's 1,600 rand per learner per year. The child goes to the next year, you buy him another set of textbooks. What we're able to do, digital textbooks are much cheaper, it's about a third of the price. Also, what the tablet allows you to do is not to buy a textbook off the shelf or from any printer or publisher and recur that annual recurring expense of a textbook. So you can develop your own module. You create your own iBook. Now, when you create your iBook and you took a lesson to, for example, I taught photosynthesis to grade 8A. And when I finished the lesson, I realized there was something not quite comprehensive about the notes. Oh, I found a YouTube video that I believe I want to insert into this lesson. Before my 8Bs come to me, I can actually amend my notes on my tablet, put in a video, change the worksheet, and my new worksheet and my new lesson for photosynthesis is ready for 8B before they walk into my class. Now, what that requires is, as I make the change on my master, it caches into my server in the school. As soon as the kids log in, they get the update live on the device. So the books are not actually, and all the updates are not sitting on each device. They're sitting in a server, and as soon as kids come into my Wi-Fi area, into my class, it updates. And then when they get home, they can access that material without breaking out to the internet while they're at home, just to make it cost effective. So yes, you do need a bit of internet connectivity, but you also need very strong Wi-Fi capabilities in your class to make sure kids' tablets speak to our servers so that all the updates teachers are putting into their books on an ongoing basis, the teacher's devices, the student devices sync with that immediately, and you've got a living textbook updated every day. As classes change, teachers can add things in, take things out, load videos, load worksheets, and those are some of the benefits.
I might be pursuing a similar line of questioning to some of the things I've previously said, but just one more here, Mr. Ahmed, is that for many of the young people, when you describe the their tablet usage and the interaction with technology, a lot of it happens in the context of entertainment. It happens in the context of leisure. So when you bring this particular device, and it's not used for leisure, definitely in class, it's used for very practical purpose, does it simply not cheapen in some way the education process, where something that is associated with kicking one's shoes off is now used for something much more serious?
Yeah. Look, we make it really clear at Alfala College. In fact, we buy and we hand out the tablets to the students. The iPads belong to the school. Students pay a usage fee. So what we do, we tell them right up front, this is not an entertainment device, it's an educational device. Now, telling them that doesn't simply change the device into an educational device, it's no longer an entertainment device. We disable lots of its functions. For example, an Alfala iPad has no social media on it, no YouTube on it, no internet on it, no camera on it, until and unless the teacher opens up those facilities. So for example, if I'm going out into the courtyard because I'm going to be teaching photosynthesis and I want kids to collect different types of leaves and photograph trees and stuff, I'll open up the camera on their iPads for that period.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the exercise is done, the teacher has full control, I lock the camera again. If for now I want them to go and watch a particular YouTube video, I cache that on my server, I send it to them, they watch it without breaking out to the internet. Imagine you got 300 kids all breaking out to the internet to watch a video, what that's going to do with our internet usage. So the teacher downloads it once, put it onto our server, and then the kids can get that. So they also not free at any time to go to YouTube and get distracted to watch some of those other entertainment stuff around there. So we've taken care, and that's an additional expense for securing the device so that it cannot be abused. For example, we teach Quran. If you come into the Quran class, the Muallim has the ability to lock that iPad into the Quran app. The child can't do anything else with that iPad except in that period be locked on the iPad, on the Quran app. And the teacher on their device actually has a classroom management system where they can see thumbnail size every device in the classroom to see exactly what that child is looking on at the screen at that point in time. So, you know, we've had to take all these additional steps to make sure that, you know, the temptation for veering off and being distracted and using it for wrong reasons, you know, are curtailed. So,
yeah, I think that that does put it in perspective, which obviously then talks to what you started off with, the amount of research, the amount of background work, training the teachers, getting all these you know, checks and balances in place before an actual rollout takes place. And even once the rollout takes place, that feedback loop has to be activated, and if any kind of shortfalls are picked up, you make those corrections. So I just want to leave it with this, Mr. Zafar, with this announcement, with the small launches that have been happening already in some of the public schools, now going to be expanded now to the entire country, if that's what the president has said. What's your assessment of this? Are you optimistic of it going the right way, or, you know, does there still require a lot of work to happen to ensure that we do not see this actually backfiring dramatically?
Look, Marona, I'm a firm believer in embracing the technology and leveraging it for the benefits it can yield to us. It does have an ugly side as well, and we need to be aware of that and mitigate against those. It's the way of the future. It's the way we can service and bring quality education to all of our schools. It's a remarkable way we can get an expert maths teacher in every classroom in South Africa. You know what I mean? And we're not going to be dependent on teachers in certain schools, and certain areas will be neglected. That's why the president deliberately, you heard him say, we're going to start with those farm schools and those schools with multi-grade. They'll benefit most because they don't have resources and good teachers. You now have a good teacher on an iPad who's delivering the lessons and digitally. And I mean, it's the right thing to do. The question is how, and the steps and the logical sequence of the way we're going to go about this. If we're going to rush just to get a tablet in the class and put a textbook behind the screen, we're making a big, big, big mistake. We got to go through all those other things that come before getting the tablet in the hand of the child. I would say there's a 24-month period. There are about 8 deliberate strategies and things that need to be done. And the 9th step is to put a tablet in the hand of a child.
Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting space, and we just hope and pray that I'm sure the government would have had advisors in this particular matter. Hope the sound advice has been given, sound strategies will be pursued to ensure that quality instead of just speed and quantity is pursued when it comes to the enforcement of the strategy. Mr. Zafar Ahmed, fascinating speaking to you. Shukran for your time.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullah. Principal of the high school Al Falah College out in Durban, talking about his own experiences rolling out electronic devices, tablets for the educational process at the school, answering some pertinent questions about the impact of technology on the learning process, and also his thoughts on how this needs to proceed in the wider context in South Africa. It's happening, going to happen on a huge level, and it needs to be managed exceptionally well for the true benefits of this to be actualized.